And I am very honored. We have an honest folk singer that blends mature themes with a sense of fun and yet reality. Her first album is Promised Land, and tonight she'll be playing at the Jefferson Theater with Sarah Watkins opening up. I'm very excited to have Dar Williams live with me here in studio. Dar, thank you so much for being here. Definitely. And we have got, I've of course asked you to sing a bunch of music today, and I'm really excited to get to that. But I wanted to ask you, you were just about 9 when you picked up your guitar. Is that about right?
That's right. That was back in the day when there was music in the schools and everybody was supposed to pick up an instrument. My sister actually came home in tears, and my middle sister, and I said, "What happened?" You know, she said, "You can't tell Mom. You can't tell Mom." And I said, "What happened?" She goes, "I have a violin." So, you know, they'd been able to pick out an instrument, and she saw the violin, and she brought it home, and I guess she'd hidden it in the bushes or something, and she's like, "I don't know how to tell Mom about this," you know. And my eldest sister played the guitar, and I tried the clarinet, and my mom said, "How would you like to play guitar like your sister Julie?" And, you know, Julie, she's so, you know, she's the big sister, and I just said I would try, and that's so, yeah, 9 years old. But basically everything I learned between 9 and 12 is as much as I evolved to. So I always encourage people to start later, so they're like noodling around and trying to get the Judy Blue Eyes suite and every, you know, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, and okay, so you know, funny. do it on their own, because you're more driven. But I still, you know, yeah, I have a foundation.
That's so great. So basically, have you do you feel like your mom kind of pushed you in the right direction for your entire career?
You know, that's an excellent question, because the answer is yes, and not just to the guitar thing. Because when I wanted to be a playwright, and I was in Boston, but I was going to all these open mics, and I was looking into some other things like becoming a professor or a therapist, or, you know, and I said, "You know, I've been playing these open mics, Mom, and I don't know where it's going to go, but I would like to pursue this thing of being a singer-songwriter full time." And she paused and she said, "When I think of my heroes, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, and I think that my daughter wants to do that, I," and then she just couldn't even speak. So that was a really nice, you know, that was a real lift. No matter what people say, you know, it's when you have their blessing somewhere, it can make a big difference.
Yeah. So when you got a chance to get to know Joan Baez, was your mom just all a Twitter when that was happening?
My parents handled that meeting so much better than my sister Julie. They were really cool, but yeah, it was a big deal. Although my dad did kind of lose it when he met Judy Collins, because that was his her albums were produced by, I think his name is Joshua Rifkin, and she has some of the most beautiful albums that bring together classical music and folk, which is my dad's sort of hinge, and he just but basically they it was a big deal for me, and it was a big deal for them, and I've talked to friends in the music business, and that's the way you want it. You want to be able to function and perform around your heroes, but you still want them to be your heroes, because, you know, to be still that child meeting that person is, you know, it makes life, you know, pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. To still have that warm feeling and not feel jaded.
Exactly. To not, because, you know, because when I was playing with Joan, we played one night on stage, and they said, "You know, it looks like," I had a real like pro modesty, don't get a big head kind of manager. He's like, "It looks like, I mean, it's not for sure, but it looks like she wants to bring you to Europe for, you know, a few dates in the fall. What do you think?" And I was so with that. I was like, "Oh, that's, you know, I could do that. We could make some space for that." You know, sure. You know, it's not like I have a big head or anything, but, and then actually it was a dream. It was because she's such a lovely person. So it was, you know, it was a dream. And then we did it all in the United States, and the rest is history.
That's fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Well, can we start off with a song from you, Dar?
Yeah, this is this one I'm surprised I didn't play here before, because I've, you know, management directed that I play this when I first came out with this album. This is the first song of Promised Land. It's called It's All Right.
I know change is a bad thing. Breaks me down into a sorry, sad thing. Not some iridescent, grateful butterfly. I'll resist with defiance, not the valor of a mystic silence. I will fight the dizzy spiral of goodbye. And it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Please don't say you don't love me. Never dangle any sword above me with the kind of change that severs me in two. Give me amberizing glasses. Could you slow it down like molasses as I salvage my old self away from you? And it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Because I have seen and seen things, all those grand historic paintings, morning light on polished swords and burnished pride. Anxious smiles encased in whalebone, spines of steel from head to tailbone, Gannon's poised to blast the turning of the tide. It's a sad and a strange thing, but it's time and I am changing into something good or bad. Well, that's your guess. I'm my own sovereign nation, dedicated to a transformation, marching on with this target on my chest. Oh yes, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. 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 It's alright, it's alright, it's alright.
Live music at WNRN from Dar Williams. It's All Right, a track from the latest album, Promised Land. Dar's going to be playing tonight at the Jefferson Theater. I love that one line, on my own sovereign nation. Is that kind of what Promised Land means to you?
Yeah, in a funny way, I think that's one of the things, you know, when I was coming up for with the title, certain things started to pop up about, you know, yes, the answer is yes. And trying to kind of be true to what your own sovereign nation has to go through, which is also the responsibility to change when it's time. So which is so uncomfortable and essential.
That's for sure. And I bet there's probably been a lot of change at your home over the last 6 years or so since you have a little one running around at this point.
I have little ones, actually. And I was the last time I was here, my husband was heading over to Ethiopia, and he went and got Taya, our daughter. So she got up on her feet pretty quickly. So she's around and running too.
Now, is it hard being a working mom and traveling so much when you've got two young ones at home?
Yes and no. It helps a lot to know we've got some really good grandparents, you know, their grandma boots on the ground. And so to know that there's an extended family kind of old style with the kids and my husband and stuff is, I don't know, I think that it's, you know, I miss them, but I also feel like there's something kind of well-rounded and interesting, you know, happening. And every time I come home, my son is eating some food that he would never eat for me. So that's the silver lining.
So do you find them to be musical yet?
Yeah. Actually, my son's very musical. He has kind of that, for kids, people who have kids around sort of 5 or 6, they have this strange little dance. You know, they do a lot of booty shaking and a lot of kind of pointing at you with their finger. It's like very Travolta-esque with no antecedent. Like, I don't know where they get it, but it's a universal kind of Elvis-y, looking at you, pointing at you, and shaking their pelvis. And so my son has that down. And my daughter will not smile, but she just... She does her head in rhythm and gets the arms going, and she's incredibly serious about it. Like, and actually, when I was using this salad spinner, I was going shoo shoo shoo, and she started to nod her head like, "Okay, here we go. Yep, you got the beat going. All right." So it's nice, you know. She likes a good laugh. She likes to dance. So she's fitting right in.
Yeah. Well, I'm completely putting you on the spot. But would you mind maybe doing When I Was a Boy?
Oh, sure.
Fantastic.
The only thing is that
it's in a whole different key.
Just 3 strings.
Okay. See, it all works out. Live music with Dar Williams here at WNRN.
When Peter Pan came to my house, took my hand, I said I was a boy. I'm glad he didn't check. I learned to fly, I learned to fight, I lived a whole life in one night. We saved each other's lives on the pirate deck. And I remember that night when leaving a late night with some friends, and I hear somebody tell me it's not safe, someone should help me. I need to find a nice man to walk me home. When I was a boy, I scared the pants off of my mom, climbed what I could climb up. And I don't know how I survived. I guess I knew the tricks that all boys knew. And you can walk me home. But I was a boy too. That you would like, just a small boy on her bike, riding topless. Yeah, I never cared who saw. My neighbor came outside to say, "Get your shirt." I said, "No way, it's the last time. I'm not breaking any law." And now I'm in this clothing store, and the signs say less is more. More that's tight means more to see. More for them, not more for me. That can help me climb a tree in 10 seconds flat. When I was a boy, see that picture, that was me. Grass stained shirt and dusty knees. And I know things have gotta change. They got pills to sell, they got implants to put in, they got implants to remove. But I am not forgetting that I was a boy too. Like the woods where I would creep, but it's a secret I can't keep. Except when I'm tired, except when I'm being caught off guard. And I've had a lonesome, awful day. The conversation finds its way to catching fireflies out in the backyard. And so I tell the man I'm with about the other life I lived. And I say, now you're Top Gun, I have lost and you have won. And he says, oh no, oh no, can't you see? When I was a girl, my mom and I, we always talked, and I picked flowers everywhere that I walked. And I could always cry, now even when I'm alone, I seldom do. And I have lost some kindness, but I was a girl too, and you were just like me, and I was just like you.
Live music from Dar Williams at WNRN. When I was a boy, every time I hear that song, I've always kind of thought of like a children's book. Reading that, just listening to the words and thinking of this little girl and then, you know, having that conversation with a man who, yes, I you know, when I was little, I was a girl. I found that you have recently written some young adult books, the Amelia series that you put two out so far. Was this always something that was kind of in the back of your mind that you wanted to write books?
No. And it's actually, she's called Amelie, which is a name that I just made up. And but I, no, I was approached by, I got a letter from Scholastic. I came home from the Green World Tour and there was a letter and they said, we know that you are on an independent label, and we are not the equivalent. We are huge. We're the Harry Potter people, and we want you to write a book, or we'd like to talk to you about it. And my first thought was, I can't. I think I would write it so badly. And I called my friend, and she said, if Scholastic has asked you to lunch, you go to lunch with Scholastic. And so I went out for Mexican food, and there was a margarita involved, and by the end of the lunch, I was like, I gotta write a book. And because we were talking about doing maybe some illustrated books, but they said, you know, you love kids, that's why we're talking to people who love kids. We have a lot of money right now because we're the Harry Potter people, and we're experimenting, and you have a sensibility that we feel is pro, you know, kind of getting in their heads. And so you can write about anything you want. You can write about teenagers, because you've written about teenagers. You can write about little kids. And I said, you know, there's an 11-year-old I have sort of in my head. And they looked at me like, you don't have any songs about 11-year-olds. And they said, well, go for it. And so I wrote, you know, about that kid who's just at that moment between those two worlds of being really a kid and, you know, then entering into the world that the rest of us have to deal with.
Right. That's kind of the more fun world, because the problems are massive, but they're not that massive.
Right. And I sort of gave her kind of a hybrid of what I had and what I wish I'd known was there for me, which is that the adults are really cool in this book. And adults are cool. Kids were really cool. And they're there to help you do what you want, even though a lot of times their first response is kind of, I can't help you. You know, if somebody walked into the station and said, I want to do a show, you know, your first response would be like, honey. But if you thought about it, you'd probably find some kind of place for that, you know. But kids got to wait around to get past that sort of sort of edifice of this is not what we're used to. And so the book is kind of encouraging kids to get past that facade.
That's very cool. All right, so as we're wrapping things up with our time together, the show that you have going on tonight is going to be at the Jefferson Theater in Charlottesville.
With Sarah Watkins.
Yes, and I'm very lucky because I get to have her live in studio at about 1 o'clock today.
I know, and please have us come together next time.
I wish I would have known.
No, she's you know, the way she'll tell you. I mean, she's just been playing forever, and she participates, you know, she gets right in with her violin and her voice, and it's just so easy to make music with her, and it's just a joy. It's like going really fast in a car, and she's a total, she and Sean are wonderful to travel with, and there's just like we had no air conditioning for 4 dates in the deep south, and we were laughing the whole time. So
fantastic. Ish. So in between those times you were like, oh, I hate this. So is she someone that you might consider collaborating with on your next project, on your next album?
Absolutely. And actually, she and Sean already played. I've revisited some of my songs acoustically. I did that with Gary Loris of the Jayhawks, which is great because I just did it. And then he put a little shimmer, a little voice here on these older songs that I've re-recorded for this retrospective that's coming out in the fall. And I said, you know, Christians and Pagans, I'm just hearing like a little bit of something. And we sent it down to Sarah and Sean, and they just did a perfect, beautiful thing on it. So we've already technically collaborated, but I think I would have to get in line. I mean, I hear her on her phone, don't tell her, but you know, saying like, oh yeah, I can do that, you know, just everybody wants her to bring her music into what they're doing. So it's an exciting time for her, and I can tell why.
Very cool. Well, we'll look forward to the retrospective coming out in the fall. And what do you want to end with today?
Can I ask you, Melissa, do you have any requests? I have all these things swimming in my head.
I was either thinking Spring Street or Cool, As Cool As I Am.
Cool. Okay. Let me, let's do, let's do As Cool As I Am.
Okay. Awesome.
I don't know if I'm going to do it tonight, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, this will be great then. Live music from Dar Williams here at WNRN.
There was a time I didn't like the love, I liked the climbers. There was no sister then, it's running out of time and one-liners. And I was afraid, like you are when you're too young to know the time. And so I watched the way you take your fear and hoard the horizon. Point, you have a word for every woman you can lay your eyes on. Like you own them just because you bought the time. And you turn to me, you say you hope I'm not threatened. Oh, 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 I am not that petty. As cool as I am, I thought you knew this already. I will not be afraid of women. I will not be afraid of women. So now we're at a club, you watch the woman dancing. She is drunk and she is smiling as she's falling in that slow descending funk. And the whole bar is loud and proud and everybody's trying, yeah. You play the artist, saying is it how she moves or how she looks. I say it's loneliness, suspended to our own like grappling hooks. And as long as she's got noise, she's fine. But I could teach her how I learned to dance when the music's ended. Whoa, 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 and that's not petty. As cool as I am, I thought you'd know this already. I will not be afraid of women. I will not be afraid of women. You tried to make me doubt, to make me guess, try to make me feel like a little less. So I liked you when your soul was bared. I thought you knew how to be scared. And now it's amazing what you did to make me stay. But truth is just like time, it catches up and it just keeps going. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So I'm leaving, can find out how much better things can get. And if it helps, I'd say I feel a little worse than I did when we met. So when you find someone else, you can try again, it might work next time. You look out of the kitchen window and you shake your head and say hello. If I could believe that stuff, I'd say that woman has a halo. And I look at her and say, yeah, she's really blonde. And then I go outside to join the others. I am the others, whoa, whoa, whoa. And that's not easy. I don't know what you saw. I want somebody who sees me. I will not be afraid of women. I will not be afraid of women.
Dar Williams live on WNRN with As Cool As I Am. Thank you so much for being here live in studio with me today.
Thank you.